Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a few Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson, Rob Ensley, and Joey Pyburn on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowlands, Weldcraft and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson RV, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, and Rain Marine Electronics.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to the Outdoor Line of 710 ESPN Seattle, streaming live on MyNorthWest.com. Don't forget to the live video feed on 710Sports.com, and of course, over on the OutdoorLine.com with blogs, videos, podcasts, and so very, very much more. Good morning, Joseph Pibernicus.
2 weeks in a row.
Two weeks in a row.
In studio.
Matt Nelson behind the glass. I'm Tom Nelson. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Rob Ensley is actually going to join us in the next segment, live and on location from Southeast Alaska. A little town.
Talk a little moochin.
Yes. A little fishing town with a drinking problem. Is that it? Craig, yeah. Alaska said one of the most overused euphemisms in the history of sport fishing. Speaking of the history of sport fishing, that mushroom-shaped cloud emanating from the Washington-Oregon border out towards the coast last week was the opener of the Buoy 10 fishery, Joey.
And it was hot.
Dude.
Yeah. The first day was on fire. Kind of slowed the second day.
Yeah. Which one would expect.
Yeah. But it sounds like there's a ton of fish out in the ocean. I hope they just kind of stay out there until we get down there. And then they can flood right on in.
It was interesting to listen to that Yamalube commercial because I could still smell the Yamalube on my hands, man. We just, we pulled the boat from the Port of Everett this week. And, of course, that means it's time to lower unit lubes and kicker. Mm-hmm. I already, did the mains. But just getting ready, man, switching gear over, taking all the downriggers and weights and flashers and crab gear and a whole bit and switching over to Buoy 10 gear so that the boat will be in Astoria starting on Monday. And my ass will be in Astoria, yes, shortly thereafter to fish that, and I really can't wait. We'll actually be coming at you live and on location from Astoria with our dear friend Bruce Larson of Renaissance Marine Group.
I can't wait to get down there.
Oh, it's going to be so much fun. And so this time next Saturday is a little event that Del Stevens puts on called the Lipstick Salmon Slayer. So if you're on Buoy 10 and you see the boat acting really, really strangely and politely and being run, that's because I'm not running it that day. That's our friend Jerry Spies is going to be hosting those that wonderful group of ladies out there while I'm messing around in the studio with you and Bruce. And that'll be fairly interesting.
Very cool.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, we got to go out and do a little fishing and mooching.
Yes,
which we, we don't do that a lot. We're running downrigger gear most of the time out there on the Sound. We do a little bit of slinging the Puget Pounder around, jigging, but it was really fun to go out on the boat. We had Austin Mosier, Todd Daniels.
A stick.
Mark Uwasa.
A mooching stick.
Jeff Lalone from Bayside.
Also a stick. Yeah.
And we went out and mooched pretty much all day. We did at the end. We made one prolonged drag. Now, listen, we got out there that morning, and things had changed from the day before.
100%.
We didn't see the bait. We weren't seeing the marks. I'm not going to lie. I just ran the boat. You guys were fishing. I'm seeing some marks. I want to cover ground at this point,
right,
because I know there's not as many fish around. I'm like, I want to get the downrigger.
Oh yeah,
but,
I know. But we made a promise to Mark Uwasa.
Yes,
we had him out, and Mark writes some wonderful blogs for us at the Outdoor Line. And he actually wrote up this trip,
and it's
a great write up. I mean, he's just such a talented writer and a great guy and just a passionate moocher. And so we had him on the boat like 10 days ago.
Yeah,
and we downrigger fished and we caught him, but I could kind of see it in him that, all right, I would really like. And so I go, look, we're going to have you back next week, and we're going to lock the downriggers down, and we're just going to mooch.
And we kept our promise.
We did.
And we stuck it out, which it was very slow for the first, mm-hmm, I'm going to say, hour.
For everybody. Yeah.
For everybody. Right. Nobody. We saw maybe one Chinook caught in that whole time. At one point, I looked at the back fish cleaning table, and there was probably 40 herring heads back there, and I wish I would have snapped a picture. I looked back and I was like, wow, that's something I don't see on the Sea Beast very often.
Well, and just, dude, we went through
nine.
It was
8.5 that we used, because when we got back to the gas dock, there were a few left in
there. We went through 100 herring, dude.
Yeah.
We went through 100 herring and a couple dozen leaders and everything, but it was so much fun. And so Todd Daniels sticks a dandy. Okay. And it runs around the boat and does all this freaking stuff without a flash or just hilarious. Get it in a boat. Honest to goodness, 20 pounder.
Yeah.
You know, and then a couple other shorts and stuff. And then all of a sudden, and so I'm using that single action Islander, right? And dropping it down. And there's a reason, okay? When you're purely mooching, there is a 100% reason to use a 10.5 footer and that reel.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can feel your line tension, because I palm that thing, and you can feel that line tension in that rod, and the rod's fairly light, and it's perfect for this stuff, 4 ounce, you know, Bubba Buchanan signature model freaking Bomax sinker, which they don't make anymore, and chartreuse.
Mm-hmm.
Let that thing down, and all of a sudden, the bite came as I didn't feel the sinker anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's instant that happens, it's like, wait a minute, the laws of physics didn't just change. That I got 4 ounces on there and I can't feel it. And so Austin Mosier was watching the whole drill, right? And he goes, what's the matter? And I'm just freaking spinning as fast as I can. This Chinook has my bait, comes up to the surface, rips across the back of the boat just as I catch up to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a good fish, dude.
Yeah.
That was all of the one we had in the boat, but it was
probably
unclipped.
Yep.
Could have been a pound or two, but who cares, right?
Yeah. We beautiful.
Beautiful fight and a great fight, too. So we hit for the cycle on Area 9. We got them mooching, we got them jigging, we got them trolling, of course. But what a great day. And even though, you know, it wasn't our most productive day, everybody had a chance. Everybody was holding on to the rod when Mr. Ty Von Chinookerson freaking came calling that
mm-hmm.
day. And it's kind of what it's all about, dude.
Yeah.
Is being on the rod and feeling the bite.
Yeah, and it was just cool that, like you said, we got them all three ways, you know, trolling, mooching, jigging this year in Puget Sound. And you know, that bite died, and those fish
100%.
That were there were gone.
Right.
And we had a little tip from my buddy Isaac that there was something happening mm-hmm. a little bit north of us on the
yep.
troll. We picked up, ran up there, put it down, bang, we got another fish,
yeah.
and Mark was able to get a fish in the boat, so... What a just a fun day, man.
And just to put a little perspective on things with regard to Area 9 and why we always talk about Area 9 and why we're so fired up about Area 9. Okay, if you look at all the marine areas, you know, right now on the coast, you know, we're still fishing Chinook, which is absolutely wonderful, okay? But to this point of the season, the Columbia River area, Ilwaco, okay, has caught 2,000 sport-caught Chinook, okay? It's a great mm-hmm. number. It's a great number. Westport has caught 4,700. You know, that excellent, right? LaPush has about 250 on the coast, and then in Nia Bay, 4,100, okay? And that's been open since June.
Mm-hmm.
In the less than 3 weeks that Area 9 was open, we whacked our 4,700 Chinook.
Yeah.
Pretty close to it. So that's why we're so fired up about this. You can go to the ocean and you're going to catch bigger fish. I get it. But you're not necessarily going to catch more. And every one of these is a you know, I'll say a logistics challenge for most of us here on the I-5 corridor in the Puget Sound region. But that's why Puget Sound is so important and so worth fighting for. You know, you're not out there battling the ocean swells. You can sleep in your own bed and catch Chinook. Yeah. And in this way, we can infest more youngsters and more people with the passion of salmon fishing because it's close to home.
Yeah.
It's close to
and
home.
And you mention that all the time. It's nice to be able to go catch a Chinook on Puget Sound and then
yeah.
sleep in your own bed.
Right.
A lot of guys are having to travel.
Sure.
And
I will.
You go. Yeah,
and
you
I am.
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we have it right here.
Right.
Yeah. Like you said, fight for it. We never want to lose that opportunity to be able to fish in Area 9 and Area 10, Area 7 even. You know, we blew that quota in 7 days. And
don't get me started on Area 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and so that's what I'm – listen, I'm really, really passionate about getting more people to experience salmon fishing, okay,
mm-hmm.
because people absolutely will not care about what they do not experience. They won't.
Yeah.
And when you're out there – and At its core, this whole hunting and fishing game is the joy of experiencing the places that deer and elk and salmon and halibut make you go to seek.
Mm-hmm.
And all the experiences they're in, from just walking the docks to getting on the boat,
the
all the sunsets.
It's not just catching the fish.
No, it's not.
Like running out that morning, we saw probably one of the most beautiful sunrises I've ever seen in my life, and I've seen a lot of them.
Same here, man.
And you know that sun was bright red, and the sky was as pink as it's ever been.
Yeah.
And that obviously is because we got a little smoke in the air, but it was incredible. We shut the boat down, and we have Austin Mosier, Todd Daniels, Mark Iwasa, Jeff Lalonde, you and I. We've all seen plenty of sunrises. We're all on the back deck looking at this like, wow.
This was, it was
amazing.
It was just a miracle in the sky.
Yeah.
I mean, it just one of those things that, you know, and it reaches its peak and it doesn't last very long and it fades to pale as the sun comes up, but all that stuff, you know. So anyway, I'm sorry about waxing poetic, and we got a lot of fishing to do. We got a lot of show to cover today. Like I said, Robbo's going to join us next. Then Joey and I are going to kind of do a regional roundup and some coho and pink tech time. You know, because now we're switching over somewhat, right? Is there still more Chinook to catch in Puget Sound? Oh yeah, there is. In fact, Bubba Buchanan's going to come at us at 0700 hours with you know, from the South Sound, where the South Sound Salmon Derby's taking place, and so the Northwest Salmon Derby series is still going to award the boat at the Everett Coho Derby next month. So, you know, stay tuned for that. And Bob's going to give us a South Sound Chinook and crab rundown. So that's really going to be interesting. And then, of course, you know, we're heading down to Buoy 10. We get a fish with this living legend who's also joining us on the boat, Buzz Ramsey, coming at us, the hat himself, right, is going to jump in. And he's recently written just a magnificent article that is nothing short of a handbook on how to approach the Buoy 10 fishery. You know, I mean, I don't know anybody that's got more years in that fishery than Buzz.
No. I talked to him last night, and I kind of mentioned that. I was like, well, nobody knows it like you do, Buzz. And he goes, I don't know about that. And I'm like, I think I know.
I think you know, too.
Yeah.
So 710-710's text toy powered by Yamaha Outboards, 866-979-3776, locally, 206-421-3776. That is the Reverse Chine Hotline brought by Wellcraft Duckworth Northwest Boat. Rob, Captain Krusty Ensley, joining us next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.
From the shining shores of Puget Sound to your radio, this is the Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Well, some 867 miles north of here is a little town called Craig, Alaska, and in it is the Grande Gringo himself, a.k.a. Captain Krusty. Robbo.
What did you call me? What?
Exactly.
How you doing?
And you know what? I talked to Rob last night, and he's not that crusty this year, man. He was going on a hike. He's been, you know, running bears off the playground up there. He's been in pretty chipper, happy mood.
The finder of lost puppies
bears,
and the chaser
the
of bears.
The bears are taking back this town. The bears are taking the town back. I'm telling you what, man. They have moved in. And they're going away. We got a big one in the neighborhood. This is no joke. This is like a real bear, you know. And every night the cops can sit around. The mayor's been sitting over there. Everybody's just sitting waiting for him. And he knows
standing around with their shotgun.
You got to love a mayor with a slug gun and or a 300 Winchester Magnum scope.
Only in Alaska. Down south, the bear would have to go to counseling.
Oh, yeah.
You know, go to the bear retreat center and maybe go get a massage and all that crap. They'd be like a Wagyu bear by the time they're done with it. But up here, they handle things a little differently. But, no, things are good here, man. I'm looking out the window of my boat right now. Flat calm, light winds today. Things are good, man. Silvers, kings are close here. We're still catching them and shaking them, of course, but we're mooching like crazy. I got half a case of bait on the boat today, 18 packs of herring on the boat today, and we're going to burn through. I bet you we burn through all of it.
Wow.
So things are good. Yeah, things are good.
So walk us through a DEFCON 4 freaking coho bite up there, because – you know, you guys, it's not just you catch one. It's not just you catch two. Mm-hmm. We're talking triples and quads here.
And there's so many of them.
When you really get into them, yeah, for sure. When you really get into them, I mean, you know, we pick away at them too. But like I was telling Joe yesterday, we got into a white hot bite a couple evenings ago. And, I mean, dude, it was out of control. We pull in. I look at my Lowrance sonar, and I'm like, oh, my God. Helmets, cuffs, chest protectors, you know, eye protection, guys, you know, stuff.
Suit up.
To get real right now. Suit up. We're going in. And, yeah, I mean, Coho's just going every which way but loose, 2 and 3 and 4 out at a time. I was telling Joe, I've been using this little net to scoop them in and throw them in the boat, you know, this little catch and release net deal, a rubber net. And I'm messing around with one. I got one in the boat. And out of the corner of my eye, I just see this Coho just flying in the air. And it comes all the way over the kicker motor. And this is no joke. I'm 6.5 feet tall. This Coho jumped 4.5 feet into the air, went all the way over the kicker, landed on my redneck bait table, and came in the boat and hit me in the middle of my back and bounced into the boat and landed in the boat. And I was like, wow, here we go.
Yeah.
You know, obviously that doesn't happen all the time, but fun.
This fish was hooked or not hooked?
Oh, it was hooked.
Oh, it was hooked.
Yeah,
the guy
hooked it, and it went just completely, you know, ballistic right at the surface, and it came. But
it was a labor saver coho.
It was. We're mooching. I've been running 5-ounce sinkers. I'm probably going to drop them down to 4 here pretty quick since it's just all cohos now. And we're not scraping the bottom as much as we normally do. But that's it. I run 30-pound mainline mainly because of the sea lion deal here.
Right.
I would run a little bit heavier mainline, all mono, 5-ounce sinkers. And I usually switch to chartreuse this time of year. The cohos get all jonesed up on those chartreuse sinkers, and half the time they're chasing the sinker and not even the bait when you reel up, you know. They seem to like that chartreuse. About a 6-foot, 40-pound leader and a cut plug herring. Red label, green label. Red label works really good. The nice thing about red label, it's small enough to where when they bite it, they get all hook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no chewing, there's no chomping, there's no, you know, sometimes those green labels can be a little big for a 8-pound coho or a 6-pound coho. They're still going to chew on them, but hooking them is a lot easier on the smaller baits. And that's it. And then up here, we use line counter reels. So when I'm marking fish, say, you know, we're in 100 feet of water and I mark a school of cohos at 60 feet, guys can dial it right in, you know. Shimano line counters, if we got a little angle on the line, I'm saying, hey, you know, you probably got to drop at 75 to get to the fish at 60, and guys drop it down and wham, fish on, you know. And that's kind of the drill. And then me with the boat, I'm managing the line angle. I'm running the kicker. I'm managing the wind and the tide and everything else to just keep line angle on that at all time so the guys aren't getting tangled. If you don't have line angle, if you're just dropping straight down, you're going to be tangled every single time you drop down. You always got to have line angle on there. And that's probably the most important thing about the mooching drill is just always having line angle. Otherwise, you're just going to be tangled constantly. You're still going to get tangled, trust me, but it mm-hmm. just minimizes the tangles.
So when you're setting your boat up, Rob, just so guys, mm-hmm. you know, guys who haven't mooched before, if say you got an outgoing tide, you're going to set mm-hmm. your boat up. Are you going to put bow into the current, or are you going to set up with your rear end into the current?
Whatever way the drift is going, I usually have my stern towards the wind or towards the current.
Okay.
Yeah, stern up.
You know, whatever way we're drifting, I got my stern towards it. Yeah. I can put it in reverse if the wind's pumping pretty hard. I can throw it in reverse and just hold the boat so it doesn't just take off, you know, mm-hmm. and run our lines way out on the surface. I might have it in gear. Like today, there's no wind. I'll probably have it in gear. I'll probably have it just at idling, nice and slow, and we'll just kind of work our way up and down some of these passes that we do, some of these little fishing areas. And that's it. I mean, you're constantly just working that kicker motor to keep your line angle. And a lot of times, too, I'll go through a school of fish, and if there's nobody behind me, I'll throw it in reverse and back over them again. So you go through them, land a bunch, you're like, okay, we're out of the school again. And again, if there's nobody behind me at all, I throw it in reverse, and I just back right over the school again. We just mooch backwards, you know, with all the lines trailing off towards the bow.
Yeah.
And you can double dip on some of those schools, you know.
So
it's just all about line angle.
So we're talking with Rob Ensley this morning, coming to us live from Craig, Alaska. And so from an abundance standpoint, we all had our concerns earlier in the summer with regard to coho abundance. I mean, Chinook runs from a size standpoint down here manifested themselves in what kind of we thought. The Chinook season around here was what we thought it was going to be. Good numbers and pretty decent size. Coho, the jury's still out, especially with regard to the 1.7 million coho they predicted on the coast down here, Robbo, and the Oregon Production Index, again, overshot the forecast. I mean, because we're still at basically all the whole coast of Washington right now is between 25 and 30% of their coho quota, and we're almost halfway through August now, right? You kind of had a slower start with regard to coho, but they are there in great numbers now. Were they late?
Oh, I lost the last bit of that, Nelly. We got a little cell phone.
No, not at all.
Going on here, but I get your drift.
Were they late? Were the coho late with your
And they were a little late up here. They're a couple weeks late, probably. Yeah, at least a couple weeks late. But they're coming in now, and we're happy with the numbers. And there's still kings here. We're closed on kings, but still plenty of kings here, which is a good sign. I was talking to Joe yesterday too about braid versus mono moochin. And I think if I was in the Sound and I was just fishing by myself or with a buddy, I'd probably fish braid. I can't do it here.
No.
We can't do it here because of the tangle factor. But if I was in the Sound, I think I'd probably run 30-pound braid. And you can really drop your lead size down because 30-pound Power Pro or whatever or Daiwa J braid, it's got the diameter of 8-pound test, mono. And so you can, instead of running a 5-ounce lead, you can run a 4 or a 3. You could really drop your lead size down. You could really get a lot more natural presentation. But you got to slow everything down. I mean, with braid, you know, once again, you don't want to set the hook when you feel something. You really got to slow everything down and force yourself to just reel them on. But man, with braid, you could feel everything. If they were even looking at your herring, you could sense it down there with that braid, you know. So,
interesting stuff, buddy. Well, okay, how many groups left?
Going to the end of August.
Right.
Yeah. And you'll see me about November, about Thanksgiving.
Yeah, bull.
I'll finally
right. okay.
show up there for work.
So I'm just going to make sure you're going to be in town. Let's see. Okay, so you're riding the Northwest Outdoor Report on the 4th, right? For the 4th, Saturday the 4th. You're going to be back here Saturday the 4th?
Yeah, I'll be there. I'm hoping to be back that first week of September.
He's going to be
shut down here.
He's going to be back on the 4th so he can come back and drink a 5th. There we go. Perfect.
There you go. Yeah,
All right, my brother.
Yeah.
Well, and we already started talking about hunting season a little bit in the studio before the show. So, I mean, fall's creeping in, man. And we're starting to lose daylight up here. And you can't help but kind of think about stomping around the hills just a little tiny bit.
Oh, I'm thinking about it.
You're thinking about it. I know you're thinking about it.
For
All right, Robbo. Well, thanks for jumping in this morning, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Okay. All right, man.
Later, man.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to pop out of here real quick. Brad coming back with a BOMAC Tech Line. It'll regional roundup on a little dare I say pink tech? I'm going to say techs for pinks and the aforementioned coal coming up here next in the Outdoor Line 710 ESPN Seattle.
Welcome to the BOMAC Tech Line. BOMAC has all the gear for all your techniques, and SMI Shellfish gear is simply the best. BOMAC, we catch big fish.
Welcome to the Tech Line presented by BOMAC here on the Outdoor Line 710 ESPN Seattle. Go check out bow-mac.com. There you're going to find gear by fishermen for fishermen, dude. I mean, Bob Buchanan is going to join us at the 7 o'clock hour. He's one salty cat, man. There's no question.
Definitely.
We got some salty cats on the text toy this morning as well. In fact, one that made us aware that it's a little lumpy this morning, guys. Tomorrow looks nice. What is the Area 10 quota update? I will not make you wait for the Northwest Outdoor Report. We've got Area 10 at only 26% of its quota.
Yeah.
So you got, you know, I will it make the end of August? I kind of doubt it.
Yeah. What happens is all, you know, we were kind of spread out.
Right.
We had a bunch of guys in Area 9. Yep. Now everybody's going to pile into 10 and pound on them a little bit. But there's also a ton of pinks out there. Talked to our buddy Nick Kester yesterday from All Star Charters. He was out in Area 9. He is targeting pinks. And he said there are a ton of them.
They are.
I got good reports from Jim at Triangle Market. He had a customer that came in, and he was fishing for coho in Area 9, fishing small herring in a helmet, and he loaded the boat on pinks. They were just eating those little herring. And we saw that the few pinks
schools.
We caught,
yeah.
They're plugged with those little herrings. So don't think that you have to just fish pink stuff. You could fish small herring and a head, target coho and still catch your pinks and then have an opportunity to get some nice coho. There's still a ton of coho around.
No question about it. And then the other aspect to that, too, is the last day of the season, I was fishing, you know, last day of the season, Area 9, I should say. You know, I was out there with Tommy Gobin and Bob Mashmet, and I was running a little tiny spoon, like you know, your Uncle Ron was, way back behind a flasher in the dirt. And humpy. I thought it was a shaker. Humpy. And then and that was it. I mean, the last three fish we caught in Area 9 were pink, pink, and pink. And so we that was like, well, guys,
yeah, there's
it
like
was a great season.
There's a switch.
There is.
There's a humpy switch.
There is.
And when it gets flipped, that's what you're going to catch.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if you're in the dirt
yep.
or you're elevated
top
or you're on the surface.
They're going to find you and yep. they're going to grab you.
Yep.
From the 206, good morning, guys. And this call, this is referring again to Area 9. How did we go from 61% of the quota burnt in July 30th to 94% a few days later? The week prior, we went from 50 to 61. So it's the catch rate is not a linear curve, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, catch per unit effort changes. It's a curve, right? And so part of what you're discussing, sir, from the 206 had to do with the time it took for the state to update the reports. So that number on July 30th from 61% was actually the same number that we had on the 25th.
Yeah, okay? 25th or 26th. And so it just didn't change.
They didn't update it, but the actual catch was there.
Yeah.
And a lot of these, you know, a lot of the sampling occurred in Everett, but a lot of it occurred in Port Townsend too. And that was pretty solid stuff. So I'm dubious with regard to the catch estimate this season in Marine Area 7, because WDFW had a sample boat out in Area 9 and did a better job. I'm pretty confident in that Area 9 number for what it's worth.
I'm
right?
surprised it went that long, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
It's not every day was great fishing, but there were plenty of days in there where it was just.
Yeah,
really,
hammer time.
Really good.
It was hammer time. There's just no question about it. Reaching out to the ocean, what's the word on albacore? The word on albacore is we're sending our Westport correspondent, Joey Pyburn, to Westport for a firsthand report right after the show.
I'll run out there today and just to get the albacore report.
Okay.
I'm going to drive all the way out there.
I appreciate it.
And I'm going to go down to the dock and I'm going to talk to fishermen. I talked to Mark Coleman last week I was out there. I've been doing double duty here. Radio show, jump in my van. Haul butt to Westport and bring back herring and anchovies for people to buy. So I bumped into Mark. You know, they had a few days where those fish were in close. Then they disappeared. And so they are actively searching and trying to find those fish again. But, yeah, man, it's been a really slow season.
It's been a slow couple years on albacore, for sure. You know, and I mean, it's been so slow, Tobik won't even call us. You know, So there we go.
I keep waiting to get the call. They're only 120 miles. And I'll go.
We'll do 240 miles on a boat in a day just to go catch a friggin' tuna. From the 425, thanks for making me replace my Siwash hooks after every fish landed this year. You're right. We spend thousands. Why not new hooks every fish? So I don't replace them every fish, okay? But I replace them every day.
Multiple times a day. And one thing you got to think about is when fish are coming on board in the net, your hooks are bouncing around and you know, those hooks on your spoon are getting slammed onto the deck and banging into the side of the net and or on the side of the boat. Or if it drops and it hits the deck of your boat,
it's going to hit the hook point's going to hit first.
That's why dull your hook.
Right. I've been accused of being a little detail oriented on the boat, just so you know, to the point of being anal, and that's fine. But because here's the deal.
Well, that's what makes a good fisherman.
Dude,
the details.
So and so it drives me nuts when I see people who were picking up, making a run, and they drop their gear on the deck.
Yeah,
the deck is not the place for your hooks. It never is.
No.
And I mean, it even happened to Austin where the boat rocked and we're mooching and his cut plug ended up under his foot, and he ended up hooking his foot,
mm-hmm.
right? The deck is never the place. Because look what happens at the deck. Everything on the boat ends up on the deck, all right? The last thing your lure hits is the first thing that fish is going to smell. What's on the deck? You don't freaking know. It could be dog poop, for all you know, right?
Hopefully not, but
it could. It's been documented.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. You know,
we don't know what all those guys are tracking onto the boat.
Okay.
You know.
So what else happens on the deck? Like you mentioned. If you drop your gear, your hook point's going to hit the deck.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not careful about getting your gear overboard, your hook's going to hit the side of the boat, okay? And it's not the same hook. It's not. And sometimes that's the difference between hooking a fish and getting a strike.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Definitely.
So,
many times.
Tip of your spear, dude.
Many times I've had a good strike
Yeah.
You know, fish is there and off. And bring it in, and my on my anchovy, my back hook is dull.
Right.
And I didn't catch it, and I know that's why I didn't hook that fish.
So Joey drags the balls in the dirt with the downriggers. I mean, to the point where it wears, you know, the coating off of those tin shed marine by Zach Arneson.
Oh, it takes a while, but eventually I can wear them out.
And so what do you think's happened to your flasher? The flashers, the front of our flashers will get eroded from the sand too. Your hook's coming through the dirt too.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Sometimes, you know, that's what it takes. Presentation, kick up that dirt and then you're going to get bit. So, but still, you got it every time that hook goes down. Every time I get a chance to look at it, I look at it before it goes back down. And there's no reason not to have that same attitude on your boat. Enough about that. Okay, so, and there was another one I wanted to get to. Is the Snohomish open for humpies right now? That would be Negatory Ghost Rider opens up on the 23rd, according to Joey Pyburn. And then there was one other text here, Joey, that we were going to talk about that I can't find right now. So you know what? Oh, area, yeah. So what's going on in Area 10? And what would you be using in Area 10? There's a great question.
What is the best spoon, color, size, et cetera, for kings in Area 10? I mean, look, that Cookies and Cream, Kingfisher, 3.0 has been our number one. I talked to a few guys who have stepped it up to the 4.0 down in Area 10.
Yes.
A little bit bigger spoon, maybe even a little bit shorter leader, a little bit more action from the flasher there. I don't think you can go wrong with that Cookies and Cream. It's just been working all season long. Now next year you'll never get a bite on that thing. But this year it's been lights out.
It's so crazy how it changes. I mean, fundamentally.
Why? It's the weirdest thing.
It is.
You know,
but it does.
I remember years where that 4.0 Irish flag, you know, that little bit of orange, the green, the white, lights out. And last year I got some fish on it. This year, nothing.
Dead Sea Scrolls.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then just so again, and as far as leader length too, remember, a short leader on a Hoochie can draw some strikes. And I mean 2.5 flasher lengths.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Okay. With a Hoochie. Try that this morning if you're out there on Area 10, because that'll get them excited.
Yeah. And in Area 10, it seems, and as you move south, the Hoochie bite just gets better and better.
Yeah, and then if you're using spoons, maybe kick that back 4 or 5 flasher links and bend that spoon, give it a little action. All right, let's pop out of here for a quick break. What's going on? Where would we fish this week around here? Man, we got a list for you coming up next on the Raymarine Picks of the Week here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Welcome to the Outdoor Line Picks of the Week, presented by Raymarine Electronics. Don't just go fishing, go hunting underwater. Raymarine, simply superior.
Head over to raymarine.com. You're going to find the new Axiom Plus, a new generation of high-performance multifunction navigational displays. The Performance Axiom Plus is a new generation of the award-winning Raymarine multifunction displays optimized for speed. Axiom Plus is equipped with a powerful quad-core processor for industry-leading responsiveness and speed. The sonar detail is nothing but amazing. Joey and I sit there on the boat and watch our flashers rotate. And when you can see that detail, it gives you so much confidence that you're seeing fish, you're seeing bait. And how many times, Joey, have we seen a fish at a certain layer of the water column and slam our gear and watch that fish slam our gear?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love nothing more than standing in my little corner back there, my little piece of real estate on the Seabeast. And I just stare at that finder and it's so crystal clear. It's not like I remember the old days when it's just all grainy and fuzzy. And this is
move your head around to see it and everything.
Crystal clear. And like you said, most of the time on my side of the boat, if we're fishing deeper, I'm behind where it picks up my gear. But when I'm fishing shallow, I can see my ball.
Yeah.
I can see my flasher rotating behind, and I can even see my herring behind that. And then, like you said, you just watch the fish. It's like, oh, here he comes. and then sometimes they'll streak up, and then they go back down. Yeah. And you're like, denied.
Refusal.
Get that anchovy in the boat, rip it off, and put another one
something's
on.
Something's the matter. And so talking to Austin Moser, who just got a beautiful new boat from Three Rivers. Yamaha Power. And so he was down at Astoria. He put the boat in the water. He goes, Nelly, it floats, and the motors run. You know, but it was his first day running the Raymarine stuff.
Yeah.
So once I got him dialed in, I got his cartography on that. He was like, dude, this stuff is easy to run.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you can run a touchscreen phone, I mean, you know, most of the marine electronics out there, you know, they're a lot of them are getting better, but Raymarine's a lot, you know, super easy to operate. But I was happy for him because that's one of the things. I mean, he's a professional angler, just got this new boat with a new brand of electronics to him. And so that's a challenge of learning the boat, learning the electronics and all this kind of stuff, all the while running a trip, because you got to go from zero knowledge of this stuff to a professional knowledge of that stuff in basically 24 hours.
Yeah, because he put the boat in the water yesterday. He went out and sea trialed it himself, did a little crabbing,
sure,
did a little fishing. But then he's got a full boat of clients today,
yeah.
Six dudes. So it's like right into the fray.
Out of the frying pan, into the fire. All right, we just got done talking about Marine Area 10. I mean, doggone it, you're going to see an effort shift, obviously, but you got a wonderful mix down there right now of Chinook and Pink's, okay?
And a bunch of resident coho.
Coho there, but. But okay, then the other cool thing you got that we forgot to mention to y'all is the Elliott Bay bubble fishery, and I refer to it as a bubble because inside the Elliott Bay control zone right there, you can keep two,
mm-hmm,
and there's no fin clip restriction.
Yeah.
Okay. So keep that in mind.
So if you catch them, you kill them.
Yeah. And so the deal there, if you think about what's going on there, those fish are kind of lining up to go up both the west waterway and the east waterway of the Duwamish, right? So you kind of want to troll between those. Those two, and you know, I mean, can you go north up to the grain elevators? Yeah, absolutely, you can. You got to stay out of the ferry lanes, okay? The Coleman Ferry Dock's right there. And so, I mean, my favorite drag, you launch at Don Armini or run down there, right? And you fish in front of Salties and you take that curve in the bay. But it's a notorious first morning, first crack of dawn bite. Now, then there's going to be the 8:30, 9 o'clock bite, and then one on the tide change. But you'll get some big fish down there.
Mm-hmm.
You will definitely get some big fish down there. So it's open. It opened up yesterday. It's open up today and tomorrow. And then there's going to be another opener later in August. Now, that opener, which I believe falls on the third weekend of August,
mm-hmm,
that's when you're going to see somebody with a big old Chinook come from the bay. I promise. Now, slow down your troll speeds because, again, these fish are rapidly maturing. You're going to elicit an aggressive response from them, a territorial response rather than a feeding response. Okay. So again, short leaders and hoochies is one way to do that. Plugs is another way to do, mm-hmm, that. It's really hard to beat flashers and spoons, but you're going to see a bunch of guys mooching in front of the west waterway of the Duwamish.
Yeah.
And they're going to catch them. And you really can't make a slower presentation than the mooch.
And that slow presentation is always the way you're going to catch your biggest fish.
100%. 100%. Yeah. So, yeah, you can keep – so and we just got a question from the 206. Am I reading the Inner Elliott Bay or Salmon Regs correctly in that you keep two unclipped fish? Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. Again, because it's a territorial, it's a bubble fishery, not unlike the Tulalip bubble. And speaking of the Tulalip bubble, it sounds like there's more fish coming in there as well. They're getting closer to their egg take requirements, and so we may see an announcement later this week about an opener in that neck of the woods as well, which is great. But the story, you know, up and down coastal Washington right now is what went on at Buoy 10 last Sunday, and indeed what's still going on down, mm-hmm, there. So we're, you know, whereas we thought this fishery was going to be notable because of just white hot wide open coho fishing, that really hasn't manifested itself. But the number and size of Chinook in that fishery certainly has.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
I think, I've heard of a couple, you know, upper 20s, 30-pounders maybe.
100%. Yeah.
From that first day.
True tie-ees from the first day.
Somebody's going to catch a 40-pounder down there this year.
Yeah, yeah. And the Upriver Brights, man. Oh, man, those things are just amazing. I'm pulling all the downrigger stuff off the boat. And I just, the whole time I'm doing it's like, okay, big downrigger on gunnel. See ya. Little rod holder. Yahoo.
Yeah.
And just the strikes. I mean, we've talked about it 1,800 times, but you know, just to watch those rods get absolutely just blown up. That's one of the things I'm super, super looking forward to. So one of the things we haven't talked about though, Joey, is kind of the technique switch over and the philosophy. If you're targeting Chinook, if you're targeting coho, and you're targeting pinks, you know, to me, there's three different ways you want to approach, mm-hmm, these fisheries.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of guys right now are kind of I know a lot of guys just kind of sit back and they're waiting for these pinks.
They're here.
Right?
Don't wait.
They're here. They're here now. I mean, there's a ton of them out there. Obviously, you can get them on the troll. I like a white Dodger or a white flasher. Short leader. Real short. Go 18 inches.
Yep. I was going to say less than 20 inches. 100%.
You know, pink hoochies. Really, though, everybody goes pink. I like to run oranges or greens or mix it up a little bit because you never know. Sometimes the green will outfish the pink. Tip that thing with a little bit of herring because these pinks that have come in, they've been out there munching on these little tiny herring that are in the sound. So they're kind of keyed into the herring thing. Little bit of herring, little strip of herring on your hoochie's not going to hurt you at all. The other thing you can do that's pretty fun is just drift and pitch buzz bombs.
Yeah.
Right?
That's so
and then
much.
It's
little
back,
pink
back
buzz
kind of like mooching, right? Where you're going to feel the strike.
Yep.
And we have a question here. How do you rig a buzz bomb with a hoochie skirt? Leader, hook size, buzz bomb size.
So you want to use a micro hoochie.
Yes.
The smallest.
Yep.
And I would pick some up in hot pink. And also pick some up in flame orange.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'll slide that. Okay. And then you're going to snell. I'd use two small hooks. Okay, and I'd use either number ones or one aughts. And Gamakatsu makes coated color hooks,
mm-hmm.
so
they have a nice pink.
They have a
they
pink
have orange,
and they have a glow.
Yep,
those glow Gamakatsus.
Good call.
Attract pinks like magnets. So you're gonna tie these super close together. Okay, and you're gonna just tie a whole, and you're gonna tie it on fluorocarbon. And I love Seaguar fluorocarbon. For
what
this.
Pound test?
I'm probably using 20-pound test.
Yeah.
With it. 20-pound because you need it to be kind of tough. Because that buzz bomb's going to be sliding up and down it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you tie this really close, and even 25, even 30-pound test, doesn't really matter, okay? But just good tough fluorocarbon because it's going to be tough. Tie that leader on there, drop a bead down, and I mean a small bead that's going to fit inside the head of that micro hoochie,
mm-hmm.
okay? So, and then you're going to need another bead on top of that micro hoochie. Or you could skip the one under it and just slide it down the hook. That's fine. But you need a bead on top of that hoochie because that buzz bomb needs to be able to rotate and it kind of acts a little ball bearing on there, right?
Yeah.
So then you then tie a swivel on top of that, snap your line onto that, and you're good to go. The dirtiest trick, the absolute rottenest, dirtiest trick for pinks when you're trolling them. Remember way back in the day, we used to use a lot of yarn for steelhead because it tangles in their teeth. And they try putting a little tuft of orange or pink yarn on your trolling presentations on your hoochies.
Okay,
it's just they can't spit it out.
Yeah,
they come and get it, and pinks are soft mouthed, right? But it will transmit the bite so much more to you on your downrigger presentations, but they can't spit it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great place to put some scent, too.
Scent,
so
sure.
To your point about tipping it with herring, that works great, too, 100%. But if you just take some shrimp oil and stuff and dab that yarn on there, dude, it messes them up. It really does. They can't spit it out as easily. The other couple things we need to remind you guys of is speaking of dirty little tricks and fun little fisheries, is the amazingly scenic and magnificent Lake Wenatchee sockeye fishery. That's going off. You got 6,000 available or 6,000 above escapement right there that are going up the Little Wenatchee in the White River. That's a fishery that's near and dear to my heart. It's just so much fun to go up there. And it's just, you look up that river valley, and it's almost like a little slice of Alaska
in
there.
It's
just
beautiful,
just
up
stunning.
There.
And then of course, the Friday evening news dump from WDFW actually had a spot shrimp reopener. So I know we need to talk to somebody about shrimping and crabbing and South Sound.
Do we know a guy?
Who would that be? Who could it be?
I don't know.
How about Bobby Buchanan joining us next here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.